The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What are some of the ways that Scripture gets abused to make believers doubt? And what is the second death described in Revelation 21? We will discuss these things today on Grace in Focus, and we are so delighted that you've joined us. This is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We're headquartered in North Texas, and we'd love for you to know more about us by going to our website, faithalone.org. There you will find various aspects of our ministry, one of which is our blogs, which you can subscribe to and receive daily. You can also find out about our conference ministry. Our national conference is coming up next May 2025. We'd love to invite you to it. Find out more at faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Ken Yates and Catherine Wright.
One question, Catherine, comes from Brad. It's a multi-part question, but he has a question about Revelation 21:8. And I'm going to go ahead and read that verse. Now I'm reading out of the King James Version, and it says, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Brad wants to know specifically about this word that's first on the list, which in the New King James is cowardly, but it also means fearful. So they're cowards about something, they're fearful about something. And he wants to know, number one, why is it first on his list? And he says in the question that he used to have assurance of his salvation when he believed. He knew he had it, but he had a pastor who told him that he saw sin in Brad's life, and that even though the pastor was sure that he, the pastor, had eternal life, he wasn't so sure about Brad, which just... I wish I could say spiritually that I wasn't angry, but I am angry about that.
That's heartbreaking.
So, yeah. And so Brad, he says that has caused him to lose his assurance because he's fearful of being judged. And that's basically the question. So let's look first about what's going on here. In Revelation 21, in this passage of Scripture, the Lord is discussing three categories of people in the eternal state. Those who have believed in him for eternal life, those that are thirsty and have taken of the water of life. And that's the first group. That's all believers. And then those who overcome, those believers that are going to be rewarded in the kingdom with reigning with Christ. And then this group where he's talking about unbelievers, and he gives a number of characteristics of those who are going to be in the lake of fire. So the three categories are unbelievers, believers, and then overcoming believers, which is a subset of all believers. So Brad's question, first of all, what does it mean that those who are cast in the lake of fire are fearful or cowardly? How would you initially respond to that question? What's going on there?
Well, the way I've normally heard this described is that when the unbeliever is cast into the lake of fire, they will remain being in the state that they are, which is if they are angry or if they are, you know, cowardly, unbelieving, whatever they are in their state as an unbeliever, they will remain for all eternity. So unlike the believer who, when the Lord returns and we receive our glorified bodies, we will no longer be in a state of sinning anymore. And so they will maintain that state of sin.
What they are, they will be for all eternity. That's we will be in glorified bodies that are incapable of sin. So the believer in eternity will be none of these things.
Right. But I think it's important to note here, he doesn't say they're cast into the lake of fire because they are these things.
Right.
It is just a statement that they will remain in this way.
Yeah, it's what they are, right.
Right. And so we often make the distinction, and I think it's an important one, that the unbeliever is not cast into the lake of fire because they sin. That is not the unbeliever's problem. The classic kind of quote that you'll hear sometimes within free grace is that the unbeliever doesn't have a sin problem. They have a son problem, S-O-N. They have not believed in Jesus for the gift of eternal life. And so that's ultimately the problem with the unbeliever. But as he is describing their state in eternity, it's that they will remain in that state of sin and death for all eternity. But it is an important distinction to note that they're not cast into the lake of fire because they're cowards or because they are unbelieving or because they're murderers. It's just that they remain in that state. And by the way, I think it's important to note there's going to be a lot of cowards who live in eternity. Well, there's going to be murderers who live forever. The scriptures speak of believers who are going to be in the kingdom, and yet they had moments of cowardice, or adulterers will be in the kingdom. Many of these descriptions are also ones that we see as examples of believers in the scriptures, both Old and New Testament. But the difference is that they will not remain those things in eternity. They will receive their glorified bodies.
Yeah, I would take that a step further. I would say that when you look at this list, all believers are all these things.
Yes, 100%.
When he talks about liars.
Yeah. Who hasn't lied? We all have lied.
We've all lied. Yeah. Or murderers, if we expand to what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. If we're angry with someone, we've committed murder.
We will rejoin in just a moment. But years ago, Zane Hodges wrote The Gospel Under Siege. Sadly, this is still true, and GES President Bob Wilkin has recently written its sequel. Bob's new book, The Gospel Is Still Under Siege, is a book about theological clarity on the biblical teaching about eternal salvation. It is available now. Secure yours today at the Grace Evangelical Society's bookstore. Find it at faithalone.org/store. That's faithalone.org/store. Now back to today's content.
Who hasn't been a coward? You know, I know that's like the one that he's kind of specifically pointing to, but I just think, who hasn't been fearful? Peter's denial, I think, was in a lot of parts due to fear of what was going to happen if he was identified as one of the followers of Christ. I mean, who hasn't been fearful or a coward in their life?
Catherine brings up a great point here. Believers are not going to be in the kingdom because they're not these things,
right,
in this life.
Exactly.
But they won't be any of these things in the world to come.
Mm-hmm.
And the believer is not cast in the lake of fire because
the unbeliever
is not cast in the lake of fire because he is these things.
Correct.
As it says in chapter 20, they're cast in the lake of fire because their names are not written in the book of life.
Right.
And so since they don't have these glorified bodies, they're going to live mm-hmm. who they are.
If we could just summarize it, it's a causation issue, I think, for Brad. Are they cast into the lake of fire because of this? Is that the cause? And what we're saying is, notice that is not the reason for them being cast.
Yeah, if that's the reason, then everyone would be in the lake
of
fire.
That's exactly right.
Which, obviously, Paul says this in Romans 3, there's none righteous. There's no, not one.
Right. Also on that, can I just say, you being angry at that pastor, I just want to tell the pastor, you're telling me you've never lied?
Right.
You've telling me you've never committed adultery. You've never been angry. You've never been a coward. None of those things can be attributed to you at some point in your life. I mean, just the arrogance of that pastor to say that is awful. Yes. And we're so sorry. That should be rebuked for what it is, which is heresy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk a little bit about what does John mean when he says it is the cowardly or the fearful. What are they fearful of, or what are they cowards about? I remember years ago that someone suggested that what it's talking about there primarily, I guess, would be that the unbeliever fears death. Now, obviously, a believer can as well. But for the unbeliever who's cast into the lake of fire, the cowardly describes the unbeliever who has no hope in the world to come. You know, now, could John have meant something else if it's not death? And that seems to make a lot of sense to me, that the unbeliever here, just as a general rule, is fearful of death. Now, a believer can be fearful of death as well. But for the unbeliever, there's going to be no remedy for that. It's described as the second death. So what he's fearful of is going to be his experience for all eternity.
Hmm.
It was something like that. And again, I can't remember who it was. But Brad talks about this idea that he's fearful of judgment. that's not, obviously, that's not a disqualifying thing for a person. In other words, if a person is fearful of a coming judgment, that doesn't mean he's going to be cast in the lake of fire, because there's believers such as Brad who's lost their assurance, who may be fearful of these things. But Brad, if you've ever believed in Jesus for eternal life, you have it.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I think that for many people, when I hear them talk about their struggles with assurance, it goes back to you're looking at yourself. You know, in this case, Brad's looking at his fear. He's looking inward and he's examining himself. And whenever you do that, you're going to find that you fall short in some area. Every believer, every person who's ever lived there.
And if you're honest, more
if you're
than
honest,
area,
yeah,
you fall short in probably every one of these areas.
Yes, every one. If you really sit down and you start, you know, unbelieving, what, you know, we could say, well, is that unbelieving in the message of eternal life or just unbelieving in many, many things?
Yeah, right? How many times does the scripture say something and you don't believe it?
Right, as a believer in Jesus
right.
for eternal life, but you just reject maybe the doctrine of rewards or the Lord's coming back or whatever it is. So I would encourage you to, instead of looking inward and looking at yourself and your works, because you will never find assurance in your works, but look to the words of Christ, look to his promise, which is that if you've believed in him, then you have the life that he has promised to those who've believed in him for it. And so it's not an issue of looking at yourself. It's looking at the Savior and his word. Is he trustworthy?
And in the kingdom, you will not be any of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes this pastor's word so disgusting.
It is.
So detestable. You know, the pastor has the gall to say, oh, I look at my works and I'm looking really good, but I look at you and I'm not. How, Brad, don't let him rob you of that.
Really?
Don't let him have that impact upon you. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Jesus said, he who believes in me has eternal life. And so in the kingdom, when we enter into that kingdom with him, we will no longer be in these bodies of flesh, and all this list is not going to apply to us. One answer I don't know about this is, why is it listed first? I guess what I would say is, I don't think there's an order of more importance or mm-hmm. less importance. He's just describing what people are going to be in the lake of fire forever. I don't think that one is more important. I don't think that being cowardly is necessarily worse than being a murderer or being sexually immoral. I think it's just a long list of things. Well, Brad, we hope this really helps you. Don't listen to that guy. Listen to the words of the Lord. Mm-hmm. He who believes in me has eternal life and has passed from death into life. And that's what he's going to be for all eternity, when the curse is no more and all these sins will not exist in his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's a message for all of us, because it's a message of grace. And remember,
keep grace in focus.
We invite you to check out our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday 5-minute YouTube videos at YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. You will love the content and learn a lot. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. On our next episode, there's receiving the kingdom, inheriting the kingdom, and entering the kingdom. We will talk about these things. Please join us. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.